Good evening and welcome. I'm Goblin, and tonight we will be reading from Your Ghost Stories, a wonderful website where people submit their first-hand accounts with the strange and unexplained. It's not just limited to ghosts, because tonight our top is fairies. In between accounts, I will share my thoughts, musings, relevant findings, and read any interesting comments left under each story. Let's just dive right in, shall we? This first story was submitted by Summer Eclipse 22 and took place in Virginia. It's called Duende's House. In my neighborhood, there's an old Catholic school, and it's said to have someone or something unnatural roaming around inside it. The people around where I live believe more in impish, evil elves than they do in ghosts. Many of them say they see a small figure always running around in the school garden. Little footprints were even found in the flower beds. Of course, everyone says it's an elf, but I'm not so sure. After hearing so many stories, I've decided to do some research on the school, and I did find an unusual detail. There used to be a house on the land where the school was built, but part of it was saved. When the house was torn down, the owner didn't want to tear that part of the house down because it lived in it. The school now uses that section as storage, and the students claim to hear joyful music, laughing and dancing coming from inside it. Also, things would get lost and wind up in strange places. Or chairs would be in the hallways, and nobody would be inside, not even the janitors. At first I thought it was just a bunch of high school students playing a prank, but that wasn't the case. The high school students were the ones who dared each other to spend a night inside. None of them ever lasted over 3 hours because they always ran out screaming that they saw and or heard something terrifying. 1 or 2 days later, they would have the worst of luck, so much so that 3 of them were in a terrible accident, but got away safely. I researched again. Turns out the school really isn't all that old. It's just the old section of the house that goes back before 1918, and there have been no deaths near or inside the building. I was going to go inside myself, but I no longer think that's a good idea. My classmate Noel had a horrifying experience with whatever that thing is. This is what he told us during school. I was waiting outside the school when, out of the corner of my eye, I saw a dark figure of a very short man with long hair run behind the storage building. Then, it was as if I was paralyzed. It was hard to breathe, like there was some kind of thick, odorless smoke around me. My eyesight was blurry, and I had an overwhelming feeling that there was something menacing behind me. When the school bell rang, it all stopped. End quote. He proved he was telling the truth by showing us bruises on his back that looked like they were done by a very strong 4-year-old. Due to all the stories of it, the storage building has been nicknamed La Casa del Duende, or the Elf's House. I'm not sure what it is. It could be a demon, because of Noel's experience, and a few others I heard that were similar. Does anyone know what it could be, and if it's something to be worried about? Great story. You don't get to hear about too many schools haunted by elves and wee folk, though I believe I did read one other in a previous Liminal Earth episode I did. I believe it was a haunted university, if I'm not mistaken. Now, the state given for this encounter was Virginia, and if that's the case, I would love to know more about the precise location. The OP said that the majority of people in their community are more prone to believe in imps and elves than in ghosts, and they dubbed the haunted portion of the school La Casa del Duende. So, it seems like perhaps this was a Spanish-speaking community in Virginia, if it was in Virginia. But yeah, it sounds like a really interesting area to know more about. I mean, we don't get too many places in the U.S. that lean more towards belief in goblins and elves and imps and things. So, yeah, it'd be very interesting. And it would be really cool to know which school it was. I did make a brief attempt to maybe find the school on the Shadowlands Haunted Places Index. And while Virginia has no shortage of haunted high schools, I didn't find any submissions that overtly point to them being the school in the story. I found it interesting, though, a lot of the haunted schools on this Haunted Places Index have haunted theaters, though. I wonder why that is. What makes a theater more prone to a haunting than, say, a cafeteria? Maybe it's more accidents can or do occur there. I seem to remember my own high school having such a story, actually. Anyway, there is one comment I would like to read from the story, La Casa del Duende, or the Duende's house. It says, quote, "Of what I've heard from people who have been encountered by Duende in my hometown Philippines, it's better not to bother them or even think about them while you're on campus. Duendes are like kids who always love playing with things or people who they think are a toy. If you happen to ruin something that they really like, they're going to ruin your life as a payment. One thing that I've heard from my aunts was that she was tricked when she was 5 years old by these duendes by giving her candies and asking her to come to their palace so she'll be a princess of theirs. But then one night, she was flying while laying down, like some sort of small people were carrying her, but her parents woke her up and said a prayer so that it will stop. And it did." End quote. I've read a number of duende stories at this point, and what I've gathered is that even though the translation of the word duende varies from person to person, some people liken it to goblin, other people gnomes, and in this story, elf, the nature of them is always generally mischievous and possibly dangerous, but I'm not sure if it's intentionally so. If there are duendes, I just don't think they have the same set of morals and social norms that us humans do. Good and evil are a human convention, after all. The part in the story where the OP said that students who would go into the elf's house would end up with bad luck reminds me of stories in Ireland of people who cut down fairy trees and then are said to have horrible, even generational, misfortune. So it seems like it's best to leave the dwellings of the fairies be, just in case. Let's read our next story. This one took place in Oregon, was submitted by Wildstar, and it's called Fairy in the Woods. My boyfriend and I were working for an environmental organization in Eugene, Oregon. One evening, we attended a work gathering in the woods outside of the city. The woods were owned by an old deadhead with a long flaming red hair who loved to spout nonsense and walked around with an intricately carved cane. The cane was carved by one of the many boys in their early 20s who lived in the woods and made a living carving. They could do backflips from their standing feet, and when we went into the woods with them, they were flipping off of trees. The owner of the woods took a liking to us and invited us to go on a short hike with him. He showed us numerous little cages set up around the walk and explained to us that the woods were infested with fairies and he was going to catch one. I remember catching my boyfriend's eye and smiling at that. We stayed up all night, and the hour before dawn found us in the woods, sitting on a fallen tree, alone together. A tiny creature, about an inch or two long and light in color, flew up to our faces and hovered in front of his nose. It wasn't a bug, but it didn't look like Tinkerbell, with hair and long limbs. A strange thing happened then. It was like a love spell. We went into a state of sweet amour and came out of it about 10 minutes later in a glade, lying on the ground with our shirts off. We had never felt like that before together. In fact, I had never felt like that before ever. So graceful and light and good. I can see why he wanted to catch one. You can't bottle that stuff. Okay, so very interesting little account there. The OP got a visit from the love fairy. I don't think I've ever heard of a fairy acting as an aphrodisiac, so I'd be curious to know if anyone else has heard of similar claims. I do wish we got a clearer and more detailed description of the fairy, and no one asks for one in the comment section. Everyone is just expressing how incredulous they think the story is, and that they find all the quirky details of it to be too hard to believe. And, of course, question if the OP was under any substances that are likely to be provided by a forest-dwelling hippie community. One person says, quote, "This story is a bit too strange and fantastical for me. The description in the commune of fairy catchers who randomly do backflips just does not ring true to me," end quote. Honestly, I've never been to Oregon, but this actually rings true to exactly what I expect the state and its inhabitants to be like. Wildstar, the OP, replies, quote, "The young guys who make a living by carving were some of the many colorful itinerant homeless kids in and around Eugene. There are lots of them in this area. This particular crew totaled 3, and they were crashing in the woods as guests of the red-haired guy. They were in their early 20s. In the morning, we tripped the fairy cages that were set up, and we had some little homies, a quarter machine phenomenon, on the car dash, so we put them around. The forest was old growth and about 15 minutes outside Eugene. No drugs or alcohol. It was a work trip. The girl who invited us also lived in the woods in a trailer. Don't know why exactly all 3 guys could flip. Birds of a feather, I guess. It was a private wood." End quote. So people were also trying to kind of speculate on what the location was. It doesn't seem like they wanted to give the exact location away because it's someone's private property. And I remember homies. I'll put a picture up for anyone who's watching the video, but they were these little plastic figurines that you could buy out of a quarter machine. And that's what Wildstar said that they jokingly put in the fairy cages. I don't honestly think you could catch a fairy in a trap, but maybe I'm wrong. Either way, I definitely don't think you should. That's definitely a way to tempt bad luck, trapping a fairy. Once again, I just had to check the Shadowlands Haunted Index page to see if there were any entries for fairy-infested forests. There were not, but Eugene, Oregon did at one point have a haunted Kmart and a haunted Toys R Us. Interesting that neither of those retailers exist anymore. They've both gone out of business, so they're ghosts themselves. Check out this entry for the Kmart, though. Quote, "A night stock worker witnessed a section of talking Elmos all begin talking and moving at the same time," end quote. Sounds like something from my Puppet People series. Pretty creepy. I do want to read a couple of comments from this story. Second First wrote, quote, "When I was young, I had contact for a fairly long period with what I described to my parents as a fairy. I think I simply used the term because I didn't know the term spirit yet, and I was using terms that seemed to best fit. I consider this to have been a medium probability incident, as my reflections are very vague. I still remember the name of the being I either interacted with or imagined way back then. But I don't think it was a literal fairy, just me not knowing a better term than what I described it. Or, of course, it could have been entirely imagined. I would converse with her at the base of a particular tree, in which I believed that she resided. Sometimes I would leave a little food there for her as a gift. It was always gone the next day, but this bordered on bushland, so there were possums, rats, mice, all sorts who would have been on it in a heartbeat. Anyway, the reason I rate the experience as medium rather than low probability is that the being I interacted with, or imagined, told me something that I did not previously know, and when I informed my parents, they confirmed it to be correct." End quote. So, they say that they were just using the word fairy for whatever they were interacting with because they didn't know the term spirit yet. Which is interesting because both fairy and spirit mean different things to different people and could even be used to describe the same being, depending on who you talk to. And then they say they probably weren't interacting with fairy, but they would talk to this being in the tree she resided in, pretty standard fairy dwelling, and would leave her food as a gift, pretty standard fairy practice. They also write that they don't believe the OP's story. A comment from Dandelion Queen says, quote, I come from a place with deep cultural belief in fairies, and I've been to a few spots where they are supposed to reside. Around here, they tend to be associated with foggy, misty, barren places. Places where there's an eerie feeling that makes it easy to understand why those stories exist. I even have a friend who claims to have been fairy-led one time while berry picking. But for some reason, I've always had trouble believing that fairies are anything more than stories and folklore, despite my experience with ghosts and spirits. But perhaps that's just a lack of willingness on my part. Either way, your story was entertaining. Be warned, though, in my culture at least, fairies do not like people, and they will take action if you disturb them. So next time you go into those woods, put a piece of bread in your pocket to protect yourself. End quote. So I just couldn't help noticing that both of these commenters have no problem believing in spirits, but draw the line at fairies. And I'm not necessarily trying to come down on people's beliefs. I myself have varying degrees of belief in different types of unexplained phenomenon as well. But it is interesting how people will draw lines between different paranormal subcategories. And like I said, I'm guilty of this too. Everyone is entitled to believe whatever they want, and maybe, if nothing else, like Dandelion Queen, can find these kinds of accounts entertaining. I find them fascinating, so let's read some more. This next story was submitted by All for One 702 and took place in California. It's called Fontana, South Ridge. My mom bought a house on the corner of Woodcrest Drive. My brother, sister, my brother-in-law, and I have all had unexplained happenings unfold in that house. The experience that is most prominent in my mind actually occurred to my brother, Dee. Dee specifically recalls seeing a gnome in one of the bedrooms, circa 1994. He told me that one day, in the early morning hours, he woke up from sleep. He laid there in bed and recalls it being eerily quiet, and just then, it felt as if someone, or something, was staring at him. He turned to look towards the doorway of the room. His eyes quickly focused on this creature that was no higher than the adjacent electrical outlet. He recalls that the creature was wearing a weird, dirty sport coat. He also recalls that it had on one of those old boat hats on, similar to that of a leprechaun. And, most vividly, was the sinister, overly exaggerated smile it possessed. My brother's natural reaction was dictated by the intense surge of fear that ran through his body. He quickly sought security under his blankets and turned to face away from this thing. He did try to rationalize to see if whether or not what he saw was actually physically there. He said it took all his will and might to turn his attention back towards the doorway, and there it was again, motionless, sitting perfectly still, and with the same sinister smile. The night carried on, and the sun's rays did make it to his bedroom eventually. It was only then that he made an attempt to find this creature. It was nowhere to be found. My brother ended up tucked under his blanket, unbelievably frightened, until the next morning. Neither of us have any idea as to what it is that he saw. I've heard folklore of gnomes, and the more I think about it, that's kind of what it sounds like. In the same house, I myself would often hear footsteps upstairs as if someone were walking, yet I'd be the only one in the house. I would fall asleep on the couch in the living room, only to be awakened by a loud, muffled clap right next to my head, kind of like an open hand slapping the cushions of a couch. Presently, the occupants of that house also experience paranormal activity. I am curious as to the history of Southridge, Fontana, California. Don't know if public records were kept for that area. Creepy smiling gnome. Definitely no stranger to those on this channel. The people in the comments agree that they believe it to be a gnome. Even more specifically, the tomten, which is a Swedish house spirit typically depicted as what we now recognize as a garden gnome, with a long white beard and a pointed red cap. So, this little being might not be sporting the usual gnome attire, but gnome, like duende, is a term that tends to be malleable to different physical and behavioral characteristics. I have a whole show on gnomes if you want to dive more into the subject and a heap of interesting stories. Let's read this comment by Augusta M. Quote, "Interestingly, I decided to do a bit of a Google on the area, and evidently, there has traditionally been a large Slavic immigrant population that might explain the presence of entities that seem a bit out of place. I know little about Slavic mythology, but perhaps something in it might feature a wee gnome-like figure. There are also quite a few ghost stories, some better researched than others, reported in the area. Perhaps if one is very near to you, there might be some connection with your experience." Another article pointed to KKK activity. Anything that causes such charged emotions, anger and fear, can lead to activity as well. Though I don't think the gnome would necessarily be connected. End quote. So, regarding the comments they made about the large Slavic population in the area, and the possibility of there being a gnome-like equivalent in that culture's folklore, there is the domovoy, which is a type of house spirit that is described by some people as being similar to a gnome or elf. I almost included a domovoy story in this video, because I do have some, but it's a subject I'd like to dedicate a little more time and attention to, so domovoy are definitely in our future. If there are other gnome-like beings in Slavic lore, I don't know, but I'd love to. Next, Augusta mentions that she found that there are quite a few ghost stories reported in the area, and then includes a link to the Haunted Places page for Fontana, California. Augusta is my brain twin, I love her. And she is right, holy cow, there are tons of haunted places listed. 50 of them on this page alone. Everything from white ladies, a pink lady, men with black dogs, green mists, headless ghosts, possible cryptids. Seems like Fontana needs its own episode too. So I'm not going to get into Fontana legends and haunted places tonight, but I did set some aside that particularly interested me, so perhaps in the future. For now, I'd like to read one more story. This one was submitted by Solvay and took place in Pennsylvania. It's called Cat-like Humanoid. I've always hoped that I might get a glimpse of the others, those beings from fable and fairy tales of my childhood. Call them fairies, pixies, fae, elves, or whatever. They are around, and I was lucky enough to get a peek. This incident happened about 10 years ago, and every word is truth as I recall it. It's not something easily forgotten. I was living in my grandparents' home after they both had passed on. Having grown up there, I was infinitely familiar with the house, surrounding area, and all the indigenous critters thereabouts, but I had never seen anything like this. It was early morning, just before sunrise, just enough light to see outside. The TV was on, I was catching the morning news before going to work. Everything was completely normal. I could hear the kids getting ready for school down the hall from my room. My boyfriend and I were chatting about something irrelevant. He was standing a few feet from the window, facing me. I turned to face him while we talked. A movement outside the window caught my attention. I stopped talking mid-sentence. There was something outside that window. It had a face. I couldn't quite make it out in the dim light. I moved closer to the window. It was moving too. It was low. I bent over. At first, I thought I was seeing reflection in the glass. As I focused, what I saw made me make a sound I had never heard come from my mouth before. Something between a gasp and a muffled scream, and I felt weak in the knees. It was close to the house, maybe a foot outside the window, leaving 3 or 4 feet between us. I could not make out the body well. His skin was bluish-gray, just like the early morning light surrounding him. So much so that he seemed to sort of melt into it on the edges. but his face was clear, and he was leaning in toward me, curiously, for a better look. I say he because it was most definitely male. He had a round head with a shank of dark, messy hair that reminded me of a character from an anime cartoon. His large, cat-like eyes took up most of his face, a small, not quite human nose and mouth. He appeared to be 2.5 feet to 3 feet tall, petite, beautiful, in a weird way. I do not remember seeing any clothing, but got the impression that he was not completely nude, and something was strapped across his body. A bow, maybe? I wish I had reacted differently, but I was shocked and confused by this. After all, until now, it was a completely mundane weekday morning. I made that awful noise. He was startled. Those huge eyes blinked, just once, quickly and almost mechanically, and he gave his head a quick shake before he disappeared. He appeared solid, real, and he didn't fade away. He turned and darted. I think I startled him when I reacted, and he was gone. This all happened in the space of about 10 to 15 seconds, and I've never seen him again. But for a moment, we looked directly at each other in shared curiosity. I pointed to the window and backed away. I sat, almost fell, onto the small couch behind me. My boyfriend asked again and again what was wrong. It took several minutes before I could find the words to say what I had seen. I still can't put a name to it. Him. Next time, I will be less surprised, and maybe we can get a better look at each other. When I was rereading this story while writing my script, I was sitting on a couch that was facing a glass patio door, and I thought about how spooky it would be to see someone, especially such a strange being, standing just a foot from the window looking in. And it seems like that would be something easy to miss because it almost blended in with the surroundings. Was it in the process of materializing or dematerializing? Was it performing some sort of function that a chameleon does? So it makes me wonder, how many things like this go unnoticed by people every day because they blend in so well? I love this story, not only because of the unique appearance of this being with the blue-gray skin and the large cat-like eyes, but also the telling of it really exuded the mysticality of the experience. I love how Solvay says that he was beautiful in a weird way. Even though the creature is a bit difficult to wrap your head around, I felt as though I could picture the scene perfectly and the way he was leaning in boldly and curiously. This comes up pretty commonly with experiences that have to do with beings that seem to be more fairy-like or some sort of humanoid elemental, that they're curious. People who witness them often express that the emotion that they identify on their face is curiosity. Isn't that strange? Let's read some comments. Bibliothecarius suggests that it could be a kobold due to Pennsylvania's extensive presence of mines. Silverthane writes, quote, "I always find small humanoids so very fascinating. I've read stories of gnomes, fairies, spirits, dwarves, etc. being reported from all over the world. In Hawaii, we call them the Minahune. This is the first I've read of a being resembling what you have described. Some of the scarier aspects I remember about these beings is that they sometimes lure children away to be captured. Leaving out a bowl of cream is supposed to help gain favor among these beings." End quote. It's so true. There are these types of beings in every culture, and they share so many commonalities in behavior, such as enjoying bowls of cream. Matrix 899 writes, quote, "Thank you for sharing this experience. I suspect lots more people have seen these beings, but we only hear from a few via websites like this one." End quote. I think, if you've listened this far, at least, that we can agree that we love to hear these kinds of stories, and we are so grateful to Solvay and everyone who shares them. I think this would also be a good opportunity to mention the fairy census, in which Dr. Simon Young is gathering as many firsthand fairy sightings as he can from across the world, allowing us to access more and more of these types of experiences. So if you aren't familiar, I have other shows dedicated to talking about it and reading accounts from it, and a simple internet search will help you find out more too. Tweed says, quote, "What a cool experience. I love how he blended in with the morning light. Isn't that so fae? I wonder if the window helped you see him somehow. I saw some ghosts through glass doors, and it felt like the glass was somehow aiding the process. I want to know what he saw, what got his attention to look to you the same. What was he thinking? And were you blending in with your surroundings? End quote. That's a very interesting idea about the window aiding in Solvay's perception of the being. And that's a very fun question they propose. What was he thinking? Solvay says she wondered the same thing. Quote, I too would love to know his version of the experience. Is he telling his friends about me? Does he have friends? I've always believed that our perception of our world is only part of the reality of it. I think, for some reason, that morning, the veil thinned, and I was lucky enough to be there at the right moment. Are you familiar with the legends of Avalon concerning the veil of mist used to hide the entire island from the outside world? Interesting stuff. End quote. Interesting indeed. Honestly, I could wonder and expand on it all night. But for now, I think we will wrap things up. Again, we are very grateful to anyone who puts their story out there for the public to read and speculate on. The supernatural is such an integral part of the human experience. Whether you believe in these kinds of things or not, the simple entertainment value, the storytelling aspect, has been a part of community and human connection as long as there have been humans and experiences. So, thank you for joining me and partaking in a little magic and wonder just for a little while. Apart from the hustle and bustle, there's no shortage of such strange and fascinating tales, so I'll be back soon. But until then, take care and good night.